your hand. We'll try to get one to you. But there in Psalm 23. And don't forget, for those of you who would like to give and take part of that volunteer offering on Sunday, you can give Sunday morning and Sunday night with the video that we showed last week with the Childers family. Whether you give and designate Sunday morning or just Sunday night, we'll pick up an offer again Sunday night as well for the Childers family. And I appreciate your faithfulness and giving and generosity here for our ministry as well as your pastor and, of course, our missionaries. All right, Psalm 23, the shepherd's staff. And yeah, if we got that slide again, remind everybody what it looks like, Brother Robert. And we looked a little bit at the rod last time, and we'll look a little bit about the staff today, that longer and thinner with a hook or crook on the end. That is probably one of the things that distinguishes a shepherd more than anything else, that large staff there. In our last look at Psalm 4, we learned about the shepherd's rod and how that parallels with the Word of God, and we'll go a little further with the staff tonight as we look at the other half of the shepherd's comforting kit as we focus our attention on the shepherd's staff. And it's so comforting to know that we also have another form of comfort from our great shepherd. We have his word, and we can't say it enough. And let me encourage you, as I've talked to somebody this week, and it's kind of reminded me, and my heart sank. Not only when's the last time that you read your Bible, when's the last time you encouraged someone to read their Bible and ask, how's your devotional life? How's your Bible reading? What are you studying right now to be a blessing and a source of encouragement in getting into the Word of God? Now, if we look, go back again against this staff, normally a very long, slender stick. The shepherd's staff is generally curved, as we know from the picture of one end, to make a hook. It is selected personally, just like the rod, by the shepherd. It is cut, smoothed, and shaped to meet the individual needs of both the shepherd and his flock. I have no idea when a young shepherd gets his staff and his rod, how many times that he changes it out as he grows and gets taller or needs something to extend a little more. As we know, if you've seen them in books, watching on TV or watching in the fields, on these long, tough drives and during late night watches, the shepherd can rest against this staff for support and much needed strength. And isn't it a blessing as well is that we can always lean upon the Word of God. Day or night, it's always there. His staff provides comfort for the long days on his feet. And how comforting it is to know whether we're spending a long day on our feet, a long day in bed, a long day battling sickness, a long day just struggling, that we have the comfort of the Word of God. Even today, and again, technology is either a cursing or a blessing, we have it on our phones. Speaking of phones, my brother, we have a $50 voluntary fine to missions when a phone goes off. It doubles if it's a pastor, missionary, or minister. But I just thought I would throw that in there before I forgot. Yeah, she has, I think, twice. But as we understand that aspect of that, of the shepherd and his staff, as well as his rod, but particularly today, the staff, how does a piece of wood with a hook on one end bring comfort to the members of his flock? And we'll look at a couple things and compare that like we did with the rod with us today. And I think we'll understand a little bit better as we look a little closer. Number one, the shepherd's staff draws the sheep. The shepherd's staff draws the sheep. It draws, letter A, it draws the lamb to his mother's side. In the life of the newborn sheep, the shepherd will use the staff to gently bring the lamb to his mother, especially when there's been many or multiple births within his flock. You know, and it may not seem important to us, but again, having that large flock of sheep and many to keep up with, often there's confusion, and it becomes a very vital function for the shepherd to be able to do that. It's easy for a mother and a lamb, again, to become separated, so the alert shepherd will use his staff to quickly unite them. And it is also comforting to know that as we look at the Word of God, it is quick and powerful and sharper and the two-edged sword, but we have to remind ourselves to get in it and to be under the sound of the preaching and the teaching. The Lord might use it as needed to bring us to where we need to be. And again, the shepherd, by using his staff, the shepherd is keeping the ewe from rejecting her lamb as well. Something she might do because of the odor of the shepherd's hands. Him handling other sheep, helping others handle another one may cause her to want to reject that young lamb. So the shepherd will help in that area to unite them. Another use of the staff is for the shepherds to draw the sheep, whether young or old, to himself, as we talked about last week a little bit, for inspection or communion with them. And letter B, the Holy Spirit draws people to the Lord. Just like the shepherd uses the staff to draw the lambs, he uses the Holy Spirit to draw people to the Lord. See, in the lives of the people, it is the Spirit of God who is involved in the ministry, in this very special ministry and very personal ministry of drawing others or drawing us to him. He draws sinners to the Lord for salvation. Here's our first passage of scripture in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he draws believers to the Lord for fellowship with Christ and with other believers. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As we look at this aspect here, the shepherd's staff and how he draws the sheep, again, I'll encourage you with that aspect. You know, it is the hardest thing in being a pastor, and we talked about this some weeks ago, is that aspect sometime that I don't literally use a rod or a staff, but sometimes the preaching can come across hard like a rod. Sometimes it's come across as more comforting, like the staff to encourage, and the wisdom in knowing the difference. And so often it has in a pastor's ministry, a rod or a staff may be used, but many times we don't know what's going on. We have no idea on the individual ministry and things that take place. And I don't want to go into a lot of details tonight. We'll talk a little more later. But the last couple of months, I have been very busy sharpening some tools, sharpening my mind and reading on some things in reference to things that are taking place in our community, in our state, as well as the World Wide Web. But we do have, as I made a little mention Sunday night, churches, and one in particular in our area that denies the Holocaust, but they don't mention it openly. They have a replacement theology. Have you heard of this, brother? They have some other aspects. They don't believe in repentance and faith. They believe they're both one. But yet, Acts 20:21 teaches us that they're separate, repentance and faith toward God. And I could go on and on, but it's important for the pastor. It's important for those in leadership in the church. I think it's good for us believers to be knowledgeable and know how to handle the Word of God, that we might rightly divide the Word of truth. And sometimes a pastor may have to preach or teach on these things, whether it be cults or other dangers. Even churches that claim to be of like faith, that has Baptists in their name, it doesn't mean they believe like we do. And if you're wrong on some things, for example, hyper-dispensationalism, if you're wrong on some things, you're not going to rightly divide the word of truth on many things if you're wrong in some of those areas. It's important for the pastor to try to keep up with those things, to refresh himself. It was easy on the mission field. Everyone I dealt with before coming to the military ministry had never seen a copy of the Word of God. So it was a clear slate coming from communism to a belief in God and teaching. Here in America, and I'm not being ugly, bear with me, in backwoods, Tennessee, Virginia, our isolated area in Alaska, and some other areas where they may not know, but in a larger city, here our surrounding area is over 7 million. I mean, they've got all kinds of wackadoodles around here. And it's important that we know the Word, to get into the Word, to read the Word, to study the Word, and to ask questions. There's never a wrong question. I don't have the answers to everything, but I can say, hey, let me look into that. I'll get back with you. Because I've read it, but I haven't memorized it. I've learned some things. And then in the meantime, getting Russian and Slovak recycled through my brain and speaking and teaching in Russian and Slovak, I've had to relearn because I had to make more room in my brain for that Cyrillic alphabet. Now I'm trying to get it out and bring in some more to remind myself of some things that I learned in Bible college that I have not had to deal with. I have dealt with things over the last couple of months that I have not had to deal with in 20 years because it wasn't an issue. But it's also important for us to know and allow the Word of God, allow the rod, allow the staff to help us in these areas as we study the Word. Let's see, where did I leave off on number two, right? The shepherd's staff guides the sheep. The shepherd's staff guides the sheep. Letter A, it guides the sheep down dangerous paths. And here is kind of an intro of what I talked about. There are some dangerous paths in this world that we live in today. And this is one of the most important aspects of this, of shepherding sheep. As a shepherd takes the flock to new grazing grounds, sometimes not just new to them, but maybe new to the shepherd as well, he will gently use his staff to guide his animals down the new path through unfamiliar land and territory, or even a gate, along a dangerous route at times to get to where they need to be. And when the sheep feels that staff on his back, on his side, he is comforted by the shepherd's concern. He knows that is there to help me, is there to guide me. And we should look at it the same way with the Word of God. Letter B, the Holy Spirit guides believers down dangerous spiritual paths. Now, often when I pray, and I'm sure you do the same thing, not only do I pray for those having surgery, but also pray for the surgeon. That God will give him a good night's rest. When I get on an airplane, I say, oh Lord, I pray my pilot rested very well last night and that is sober this morning. That's when you read the news. There's a concern. Let me encourage you also to pray for your pastor in his preparation for preaching and teaching. Because there are so much going on in the world today, and getting what I can, learning what I can, relearning, studying up, and keeping things in perspective. Often it's not what we say, but also how we say it. So the Holy Spirit guides believers down dangerous spiritual paths. We do not live in a time when people are less spiritually minded, but we live in a time when people are less scripturally minded. Now, with that in mind, just put a hold there. I didn't put this scripture because I added it this afternoon. Just jump over this, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew 7:15. Just going to read one verse of scripture. It's another study that I'm working on, but I think it's something important that we realize and think about when we think of the shepherd, the sheep, and what we're guarded from. The Bible says in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Matthew 7:15. Matthew 7:15. I'm sorry. Beware of false prophets. Do we have false prophets in our day? Yeah. We have false prophets. If we go, I hate to say Bible times, because we live in Bible times. We have the Bible. But back in the Old Testament, where we know of a story where the prophet was supposed to do something, and another prophet come by and said, no, the Lord told me this. And he listened to the false prophet instead of what God told him, and he got himself in trouble. That's why it's important that we get into the Word. And again, this passage of scripture, it says to beware for to come to you in sheep's clothing. Just like I've mentioned before, Satan doesn't run around in a red suit with a pointed tail with a pitchfork. We do not recognize him. And that's why it's important to be in the Word and be willing and ready to ask questions and do some research, because it is needed to know to recognize those. And by the way, people can have the truth mixed in with some things that are not the truth. And that's why it's important for us to know and to weigh and to balance. Many people are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. One good example, I don't want to give too many, but one, for example, Jonah. Now, you may have a different view, but there are some that believe, I believe his concern was not one going to Nineveh. He knew the prophecy of Amos and Obadiah, what happened, the fierceness of the Ninevites, and looking down the road, neither here nor there. But he did not want to go. He was sincere in his heart why he didn't want to go. He went in reluctance. God sent revival, and he still complained. We live in a time today where there's some churches out there that may have a portion of the truth and be very sincere. I'll give you a couple examples. I think that the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are very sincere, but they're a cult. And I tell you what, their work ethic is better than ours on occasion, and sometimes even often. But it's important that we allow that rod that needs the discipline, but also that staff that wants to comfort and just kind of nudge and help you along the way, and to beware of those things that are out there. I've said it before. Let me say it again. What has your ear will steer. What you read, what you listen to will affect you. If I had a ball of poison up here tonight and had a nice cold diet Pepsi, whatever you like to drink, iced tea, and I just put one drop of poison in it, would you still want to drink it? Maybe you go up to a couple. I don't know. But I would like to think if you knew, no. But sometimes when we realize what we're reading, what we're studying, who we're following, and it's wrong, we should allow the Holy Spirit to warn us, put on the brakes, and not go for any further. I read an article today because I was doing some research. And then as I read the article, because I've been out of the country forever and I didn't recognize the name, I got about three paragraphs in, agreed with everything. And then I got to that third or fourth paragraph and then put on the brakes. I said, whoa, here we go. And I'll just tell you what it was and we'll go on. It was hyper-dispensationalism. And then I realized as we went on a little further down the next paragraph, he was going off in the wrong direction because he had that wrong. So I went ahead and closed that link and went to another location. We need to be cautious, be aware of what's going on around us. Let's see. Again, we live in a time where people are less scripturally minded. People are spiritual. They believe in all types of spirits. They want to be spiritual, but they're not scripturally minded. It's the Holy Spirit that guides believers to spiritual safety. He guides us into truth and away from doctrinal error. I think it's important every time we sit down and open our Bible that we pray, Lord, help me as I study. Lord, help me to see what will help me and benefit me today. Take the time to do the word studies as needed. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now there again, there are those that are out there that are sincerely wrong. I think there's also those that are out there that know exactly what they're doing. Exactly what they're doing. He guides in our walk with the Lord Jesus, if we'll allow him to. Romans 8:14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Roman 3. Not only the staff guides the sheep, but the shepherd's staff calms the sheep. Calms the sheep. I don't know about you folks, but I've had many days in my life that calming comfort of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was greatly needed. Letter A, it calms in times of trouble. Letter A, it calms in times of trouble. Many times a sheep or lamb will find themselves in unnerving, nerve-wracking situation of their own making. We've all been there. In an effort to get to the next mouthful of grass, that animal may find itself in serious trouble. We've seen the horses, we've seen the cows, we've seen the sheep just about break their neck trying to get the grass that looks greener on the other side than where they're standing. And sheep are no different in trying to get into areas, and so are people, that maybe looks better than where we're already at. The prodigal son was an example this past Sunday. He found out when he left, all that he was looking for, he already had back at home. And so, again, in an effort to get that mouthful, they can find themselves in serious trouble. It could be over an embankment. It could be rolling down a hill to the bottom of a ravine, or even carried off by the swift-moving stream of those waters that are not still. But when that happens, the sheep can and most likely will become frantic and does things that may even be more dangerous because of the panic, as well as we may face as well. In situations like that, it's the shepherd's presence and skillful use of his staff that claims the situation, where he can reach in and calm it with that staff and pull that sheep away, do what's needed to do. This is not just leaning on a side, but it might be needing to hook and to pull them away. And then that aspect of us. Letter B, the Holy Spirit calms in our times of trouble. There's been times in my life, and I'm sure you the same way, that I wished I'd have listened, that the staff would have comforted me, but instead I didn't listen. I needed the rod to get my attention. We've all been there. But in the believer's experience, we may find ourselves in fixes of our own making, but that sweet Lord of ours, our Savior, the Great Shepherd, and His staff can gently pull us back to where we need to. See, it's in those situations, the more that we thrash about, the more that we go on and in panic of our own strength and our own wisdom, the worse the situation gets, the more panicky we can become. Only the calming presence of the Holy Spirit can bring peace in the midst of our storms, if we allow it. I think that's some of our biggest problems as Christians, of just letting go and letting God. Okay, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I don't know what's going to take place. I just have to turn it over to you. There are times where we have no choice. There are times we have no choice and it's easy. I remember the first automobile accident that I got to on the mission field. Driving my little Russian Lada, and it was a lot of trouble, with a trailer behind me, loaded down, helping another family. The roads were slick, come around the corner, and before I knew it, I lost control, and we went over an area. I thought it was going to be a ravine, and yes, I said, oh, Lord! You know, I just cried out to the Lord. Everything stayed intact, so we hit the ground, had some damage to my car, had to be fixed, and it was fixed. I was away from home a little longer than I wanted to be, but I wonder how many times where it's not so evident, and we don't see it as for the fear that we should. A child doesn't know how hot that stove is when they put their hand on it until they do. Sometimes we know, or if we take the time to look at what we're getting ourselves into, and we need to back off and allow the Holy Spirit. We know, this is a rhetorical question, we'll read this next passage and I'll be done. We've all heard the sweet nudge in the voice of the Holy Spirit that said no, and we pressed on. And that's when we don't allow that staff to comfortably pull us over and we proceed. And then later we find ourselves down that road and we turn around and it's 5 years down the road. And then the Lord comes along with the rod, corrects us, and brings us back all along when we could have avoided that completely because we don't yield to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26 and verse 27. But the Comforter. How many of y'all know what a comforter is that you use to warm up when it's cold? Let me encourage you the next time it's cold enough, which is not too often here in Arizona, and you pull up a comforter or pull up a blanket, try to think of yourself of the same comfort that the Spirit provides for us when times of need, whether it be cold, whether it be desolate, whether it be hurting, whether it be in pain, whether it be sickness, He provides the same warmth and the comfort that that comforter provides. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world has nothing to offer in comparison with what the Spirit of God has offered for us. The comfort of God Himself and the Word of God. Yes, I know, ladies, I know, it may be men as well, how much comfort chocolate can bring in depression and anxiety, but still nothing like the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So go ahead and get your chocolate ice cream, get your no-bake cookies, get your glass of milk, but next time sit down with your Bible when you consume them. One will satisfy the flesh, one might encourage the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us. And thank you for the joy of fellowship, the joy of the Word of God. Father, thank you for your comforting and guiding hand. Thank you for your correcting hand. And Father, thank you for the wisdom that you have and the love that you have for us that you know which to use. Lord, help us to respond as we should, as you respond to us in love. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, well, Lord bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. And as always, God loves you. This preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you, please do not hesitate to ask.